The recording is in progress. I'm going to call the meeting to order and ask Richard, will you please call the roll?
No, because I don't have a list.
Oh, you're in charge, guy. Okay.
No, I'm not. Susan is.
Then I will call.
You're talking about being a secretary? I think Susan's acting as secretary.
I think maybe I did. Okay, so.
She did, yes.
I will take notes, okay? And today is
17.
Right. It's the typing part I'm not doing well. And we're starting at 3 and it's 3:02. Okay? So, you're convening at 3:03, okay? And calling roll. And so, shall I go ahead and do that based on what we just counted on my fingers?
Would you please?
Absolutely. So, Nancy Saibara-Naratomi.
Present.
Ted Wisedall.
Here.
Adriana Casanes. Teresa. Richard.
Here.
Sean Kelly McPherson.
I am here.
Okay. And Susan, I am here. Okay. So we have quorum and I understand that Markeisha is also with us. Is that true?
I am here.
Great.
Hi, Markeisha.
Hello.
Is Sandy here by any chance?
Sandy is here.
He is. Yeah. Well, he was.
I'm there, not here.
Okay.
Okay, you're here, there, and everywhere.
Sandy is Schrodinger's cat. Okay. All right. The next item on the agenda, which is posted for everyone's convenience on kpftx.org, call for approval of the agenda. I will read the agenda. The agenda includes the call to order, which we've done. Ask for agenda approval. A brief report from Ms. Van Zandt regarding cash on hand, perhaps critical bills, H payables, then a discussion of the proposed 2023 budget, and Lord willing, and the creek don't come a flood, a vote regarding same, and then adjourn. Are there any objections to the agenda as I have laid it out? Going once, hearing none, agenda is approved. Markeisha, it is so good of you to join us again. And I understand you're a very, very busy lady. But could you talk to us a little bit about cash on hand? I understand we got some good news earlier today regarding contributions and stuff. Tell us what's the buzz. Tell us what's happening.
So right now. Okay. I was just confirming that I was not muted. confirming cash on hand right now. We have about $49,149 on hand, which is a big plus. I'll save the good news first. I'll let Sandy announce the good news to everybody at the end of my report.
Okay.
Currently, I mean, all of our bills are pretty current. We try to stay ahead of time. We're doing some negotiations in the background, since the last call. Sandy, went after our Pitney Bowes people and our, Cannon people. And he kind of went hard at them, telling them we're broke, we're broke, we're broke. Please let us out of our deal. We were able to get Pitney Bowes to kind of give us a decent number. We're still working on Cannon.
Well, if so, I just want to say that's pretty remarkable, Sandy. Those are Pitney Bowes.
I don't know what he said to them.
Hard people.
He might have promised them a liver or something. I don't know.
The problem is, Markeisha, he promised them your liver.
Oh, that would be the problem. Yes.
I'm sorry. I interrupted. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. So yeah, we'll find out if that in fact is the case. And if not mine, definitely probably someone else's, not as, okay. too funny. So, but upcoming bills are just our usual, our tower rent, runs about the main tower is $6,300 and you add another $850 for the Huntsville tower. So that puts us like right at a little over $7,100 a month for those. I had not paid our Arbitron numbers or Nielsen numbers, whatever they're going by these days. But that is about $2,200 a quarter, $2,185. They sent me a nice email this week to remind me that we had not paid for, the bill that came out at the end of June. But
will we be able to catch up with that?
Yes, yes, definitely. Since we're a little cash positive now, I'll probably go ahead and send them to their little money, whatever. But otherwise there's nothing. Oh, and we are on a monthly payment plan paying our, we pay BMI, but what my understanding is for ASCAP. And, I know that's something to do with music royalties. Sandy would probably be able to explain that better, but that's an annual bill and, it runs about $6,700 a year. And so we've been paying them monthly. They were happy to put us on a payment plan, but the new bill will come out before we will have finished the paying for the current bill, but that's okay. As long as so we're current on those monthly payments. To address an email.
Just clear, royalties, the BMI royalties are biannual, right? So we pay $6,000 some odd twice, but we're doing it monthly altogether.
Okay. Yes.
And is that true with ASCAP too? I'm the note taker.
No, BMI is what we call ASCAP.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So we don't have, so it's just the BMI, biannual, and we're on a monthly plan and we're current with our monthly plan.
Yes, we are current.
It's $1,000 a month, roughly.
Basically,
a little bit more.
And if we don't pay that, we're not supposed to play any music. Am I correct, Sandy?
Any licensed music. Yes. There's still a whole lot of unlicensed music that doesn't require BMI or ASCAP, but all the mainstream stuff, 99% of what we play on the air is subject to that.
And as a frame of reference, this used to be covered under the CPB, agreement or something, if anybody.
When we were eligible for CPB, that meant that, this was taken care of.
Right. It wasn't CPB. It was the Federation of Community Broadcasters, NFCB that we were, aligned with, we're a member of, and by being a member, they took care of those, royalties.
Richard, do you have your hand up?
Yes, I think so.
Well, I'll tell you what, is it, Richard, can it wait until Marquise is done?
I'm actually finished, Sean. He can ask.
Okay. Yeah, Richard, please.
On that last announcement of Sandy's, was that 6,000 a month or 6,000 every 6 months?
Every 6 months. It's roughly $1,000 a month, Richard.
Okay. Yeah.
That's the way I saw it, Markeisha.
Yes, you're correct.
Okay.
Okay.
Nancy, you have your hand up?
Yeah. You said, I was the same question as Richard. And you said Federation of, and I didn't hear the next word, broadcasting, before broadcasting. What's the word you said, Sandy?
I have to get the correct term. It's like the National Federation of Community Broadcasters, NFCB.
NFCB, yes.
Ernesto Aguilar was the, executive director for that before moving on to a position with KSAM, where he currently is. So we had a good relationship with them, and they took care of the royalties, the ASCAPs, the BMIs for us. But we've dropped our membership to that, our affiliation.
Good question. Can we renew our affiliation, or do we have to be CPB recipients in order to be affiliated?
Well, it's not free. We have to look at the charges, okay? I mean, there's a fee to join. It's not like you just sign up and you're good to go. And I suspect that's why we dropped out, because we didn't want to pay the fee anymore.
Yeah, last time we paid, it was like $4,000 a year. So, yeah.
Well, but if we're 6,000 times two.
Right, exactly.
It is worth it, definitely.
So why don't we try to renew that?
Okay. I will look into that. NFCB renewal. Okay.
And Nancy on the stack?
Yes, Nancy.
Yes. So I didn't hear anything about the monthly payment, installment fee for the loan for the transmitter, the 2014 transmitter we bought in Autel.
Yeah, we're
so not, have we? Go ahead.
We have not been making payments on that.
Okay.
So we're behind. So, yeah, we still owe them about $43,000 for that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Sandy, I'm going to turn it over to you. I understand that we have some news. Can I characterize it as good?
It's good news for once, yes. And welcome, good news. Our Summer Sizzle Fun Drive, which was scheduled to run through Saturday, the 13th, was extended for 1 week to the 20th. However, today at 11 a.m. or thereabouts, we went over our goal. Currently, our $50,000 goal has been exceeded. We have $51,421. We will be announcing the winner of the Little Feet box set at 5 p.m. as announced on the air at 1 o'clock. So,
I don't need any notoriety. You can just mail it to me, Sandy.
LSB members are not permitted.
And I was
sure thing. Sure thing.
Jesus. Beat me up about it.
Dream on. Yeah, dream on. So that's good. And the reason this drive funded, if you recall in May, we did our May fund drive, pitched for a month and collected $44,000. Subsequent to that in June and July, up to when we started this drive, we got a little money in. About $20,000 a month came in. Some of it is just monthly pledges that roll in and a few additional pledges. So the reason we were able to fund at the rate we did, which was over twice the rate we did all of May, was for a couple of reasons. The automation system allows you to drop, what we're calling them drop-ins, if you will. So I can sit here and record something and put it on the air. It's not, I'm not live. It's not instantaneous, but the delay is maybe 5 minutes. So we can thank winners. And Jill Morgenstern did a little of that. Susan Darrow did a lot of that. I did a little of that. So we had a constant drumbeat where at the top of the hour, we were able to thank people that donated and talk a little bit about their comments that they leave online on Allegiance. So it's a way of personalizing or interacting with a listener that we haven't done in a long time. I think that had a big effect, psychological effect on people listening and made it easier for them to participate in the drive. The second thing that we did, and I not nearly enough of, and we can do a lot more of it in October, is social media. Some of you saw those silly posts. I was clipping the thermometer off the Allegiance and you could watch the thing go up every day. And I go, we need 5,000 more, 4,000 more. And today I posted the thing going over the top. Social media is really important here. Even though you're not talking to the number of people you might be talking to with 100,000 watts, you are talking to your friends. On my Facebook page, over the years, I have, quote, 4,000 friends. When I die, the funeral is going to be packed, right? So,
don't count on it, Sandy.
Yeah, well, you know, they're friends, Facebook friends. But they see this, and I noticed a few of the donations. I was watching what was going on. And some of those names are in those social media circles. Several of the programmers, during the programmers meeting, we talked about social media, were sharing these posts. So we were successfully spreading a message that KPFT was in Fund Drive well beyond our signal. And I think that made an impact more than just a small marginal difference. It made a large difference in my estimation. And then, of course, the idea of moving into the new studio and the t-shirts, and Robin and Jill Morgenstern's ability to create that premium out of thin air and at low cost, really propelled things too. The idea that we're moving into a new studio, it's an exciting time, get excited. People can't hear it yet, they can't see it yet, but at least they're feeling the idea that we're moving forward on this. I was trying to post videos and pictures and again on social media, even on our website, thanks to Robin's magic. So all of that combined, up the engagement and up the rate at which we were collecting dollars. When we go live with our new schedule and it becomes even more interactive, and the draw of having Rourke Smith every day and Susan Darrow every day, I'm hoping that in October, serious business, that we make $150,000 on that drive. And when we get to that level, when we can fund that kind of drive, then and only then can we look at the transmitter bill, look at a small accumulated credit card debt that we have that needs to be paid off. I don't know if we'll still have our beloved copier and postage meter at that point. I highly doubt it. But if we have it, those things can be addressed too. This ship is heavy. It's being dragged down with debt. Debt that was acquired through decisions of prior management that we're now carrying around. Nobody could have predicted the pandemic. Nobody could have predicted that the building would be just completely roached at the moment it roached. But all of that happened, and we were caught with our pants down, so to speak. So we're dragging around about $3,000-$4,000 of payments a month between a credit card payment, trying to pay that principal off, and the little bit of interest it collects, between paying for a copier we're not using, being paying for a postage meter for we're not using. We're going to do away with one of our storage units, take another $700 a month off or so, or whatever it is, 350 Marquesha, 700, I forget.
Was 372 for each.
372, so it's 750 for two, if you will. Okay? So we'll get rid of one of those, I hope, this weekend. And so on and so forth. And this marginal difference means a lot when you start looking at addressing costs running this operation. I hope that answers your question or provides a statement of clarity. Or is good news.
Good news. Good news. Nancy, your hand is up.
Yes, the sound went off when you were saying, did you say $372 for two storage units?
No.
I couldn't.
That's each. So 744.
Okay.
And we're
okay, and then how much are we in the red for the credit cards for the premiums?
The balance right now is 18K.
How much are we behind in
paying? I don't know how many premiums are on there that we bought that we actually moved on this fund drive. In other words, we're mismatching expenses with revenues. Okay. We paid for something on the hopes that it would attract pledges. It did. Now we have to pay a portion of that out of that money that we collected to the credit card for what we charge. Marquesha, do you know what portion that is that we put on for this drive?
No, I can't tell you that just yet.
Okay. But I'm told, I haven't seen a statement, so without seeing a statement, I'm just giving you the information, and I believe it, is around $18,000 worth of credit card debt.
This is a scary, sticky, bitter tasting thing we've done before, and all this, I think BAI is in the middle of it now again. So let's hurry and try to get out of it.
It kills
membership faster than anything else. I didn't get my such and such hoodie, or I didn't get my this and that. Thank you.
We're staying on top of it. This company we use, they ship, we just order and they ship directly to the member.
It's really a good system.
That's good.
All right. If there are no other questions from Marquesha or Sandy, suggest we move on to discussion of the proposed 2023 budget. And for everyone's ease in doing that, I'm sharing my screen.
I apologize. I just raised my hand.
You did. So I should call them.
I think. I'm pretty amazed, by the way. Okay, so the question I have is, Markeisha, Sandy, for our $41,000 balance on hand, how much of that is our funds remaining from the Brown Foundation grant?
I could send you that in an email.
Go ahead, Markeisha.
Because we haven't per se spent any of that money yet, but as money, of course, you know, it's all in one account, even though we're not technically trying to use that money to pay anything, but right. All of our money is commingled. And it's just as fast as money's coming in. Of course, the bills come in because we're so low, but I'll send you an email with that number.
That would be great. And another thing that I would appreciate if we could do at a future, finance committee meeting is to review the terms of that grant and so that we understand what performance we need to achieve in order to meet the terms of the grant.
Sandy, have you had a chance to do that?
I have not. This is going to be involving John Amella and Mo Thomas, as the purpose of the grant is to put another repeater to the west, west of town, it would be north and east of Highway 71 within 3-4 miles of that intersection, going north and east. Okay. That's my understanding. Now you can take that and a quarter down to the corner and try to get a beer. You won't be able to do it. Okay.
Got it.
That information might change is what I'm telling you.
Okay.
Okay. I've shared my screen so that all of y'all can see. We were provided at the last meeting. I've taken the liberty of highlighting a couple areas that there were some questions about, and hopefully we can discuss them, as well as any other questions that people have. I have found, and spreadsheets are not my thing, guys, but I have found by interacting with people who are much more conversant in these things than I, that if we want to refer to an item, that we refer to this the line number over here on the left. Okay? I'm going to start things off, if I may. Back to October. I had a question regarding the budget projections for listener support. The numbers, I wanted to know where they come from. They're kind of all over the map. And are they based on actuals from last year or what?
So they are based on actuals from the prior year. And what happens is there's another spreadsheet that's a lot more cumbersome than this one, which you can't believe it gets worse, but it does. that calculates by days. It puts fulfillment percentages by months, and it kind of pulls in the numbers based on if it's been 3 months outstanding, it'll calculate. So if it was pledged in October but not fulfilled, there's a formula on another spreadsheet that calculates that balance over basically the 12 months, and it just dwindles it down by percentage so that they expect 50% to come in next month or maybe 30% the following month. So those numbers that you see are not saying that, oh, we're going to, we're having a fund drive that month and we're going to raise $73,000. It's a combination of how the formula is calculating how it sees the numbers are going to come in. Based on the months of the fund drive.
Well, I hope it all comes true.
And also, the reason the numbers appear to be lower than any prior years, as you can see at historical data, is because we can only budget for 10% more than the prior year. That's a rule that was set at the national level years ago. And I guess it helps us from just putting numbers in there so we can, you know, decide we want a new car. So let's just raise, we'll put 500,000 in there so we can get 10 people on staff, and then you don't get the, you know.
I had a similar question regarding line 12, major donor income. And this may actually tie into, what's our good news of today. You've projected, I guess, $2,000 a month in income from major donors. But if I go back here to, figure out how to do it. If I go back here to, that's not it. Just take my word for it. My recollection is that, there were no major donors in 2023.
2022 or 2020.
I'm sorry, 2022. Again, I mean, I hope it comes true, but what's this based on?
So the thing with major donors is it really all gets commingled into the listener support, because unless they send us a check for $2,000 at one time, or they make their payment or their pledge for, because most times our major donors, they just send us money. We have no idea of knowing when it's going to come. So like the pledge today, I think it was for they paid $2,000 today. So they automatically qualify as a major donor. We don't normally go back into this. So the way that line 12 comes into play is if the money is paid right then, so we know. We don't typically go back and go through reports to see every month who paid what, if that makes any sense. Because we don't know, we don't always know that you're going to be a major donor until the end of the year.
Right.
So they paid us $5,000 this year, but they only gave us $500 in October, and then they turned around and gave us $4,500 in September. So we can't just, so I don't code it to major donor unless it comes in over the threshold right in front. Otherwise, it all goes commingled into the listener support line, if that makes sense.
Okay, so then it'd be fair, if I understand what you're saying, it'd be fair to say that this 24 is actually included in this 460.
Yes, it is and it isn't. Yes, so this is additional income, the 24, but that's me hoping to say that I know at least 24 I can code right straight as soon as it comes in.
And last question is just from my education, is $2,000, is that the threshold at which we decide or we classify somebody?
The threshold that we do at Pacifica is if they give at least $500 $1,000 at one time. And that's how, but for most organizations to be a major donor, you have to give $5,000 at least at a time. So, but for Pacifica, we do it at $1,000.
I see you, Tim. Okay. Ted, you had a question? You're muted, Ted.
Thank you. On line 17. I see numbers for the annual totals in 2018 and 2019, but as I guess Mac is doing right now, highlighting a zero across the board. How did that come to pass? What role did Sandy have as our interim general manager, and what role did you have in identifying that as a series of zeros?
Based it on funds year to date that we received for community events. Well, and before last month when the actuals were done. So we did have when was that event? It was in May or June, but we just received the payment, last month for,
is that the Larry Lott, thanks Larry?
No. I need to add that as a matter of fact. So this budget was done, of course, before that event. So I do need to add the Larry money into the actual portion so that then I can then calculate 10% more onto that and put it in special events. But the question is, what are those special events going to be? Because I can't just put a special event. And again, it can only be for 10% more than we've raised in the prior year. That's the rule.
Well, for October anyway, we have an event that's going to yield about what that watermelon check was. Not very much. But again, good publicity and a good time for all.
So then we could easily say we're going to put $1,000 or $1,100 in for October.
$900 is what I was thinking, but okay. Yeah.
I was putting 10% on.
We can push the envelope.
All right. So, but yeah, I can put that in for October. Even if we were to do 10% on top of what the Larry event did, what event would we say that was going to, I mean, you can't just put those numbers in there without knowing, you know, what the event is going to be. So that's the reason they're zeros, Ted.
Okay.
If that makes any sense.
Ted, I do see your hand, but Susan, you had your hand up?
Oh, I didn't mean to.
Damn it, Susan.
I haven't been able to figure out up and down, okay?
You look vertical.
I'm trying to unraise my hand and I'm failing at it.
I think it worked because we don't see you on the screen anymore.
Okay, good. My question was about community events as well.
Okay. Adriana, you have your hand up?
Yes, I want just to let you know that I came a few minutes ago. I'm sorry.
We saw you. Glad to see you.
Thank you.
And I've added her to the role.
Thank you.
Ted, did you have your hand up?
Yes, I'd like to talk about it first. And that is that this 10% rule, I think, needs to be adjusted and modified because in our case, we're dealing with two things. One is COVID and the other is the fact that we have not been operating out of 419 Lovett Boulevard. It seemed to me that it would be more appropriate to go back to before COVID and before we left 419 and use those years as predictors for the kind of money that we will take in during community and special events. And I would like further to find a committee that would be charged with doing something along those lines, or perhaps talking with Robin Lewis and the people that she's working with. I talked with her a few days ago, and Susan Young is one of the people that's involved in the reopening of KPFT. So that rule of whenever it was, it needs to be modified under those circumstances, it seems to me. What do others think?
It's my understanding, and Markeisha will tell me if I'm wrong, Sandy will tell me if I'm wrong, but it's my understanding that is from on high. That's a rule in the bylaws and or from the PNB. Is that right or wrong?
I'm sorry, were you going to say something?
Yeah, no, Markeisha knows better than I do. I think it was a PNB policy.
It's a PNB policy.
For many years.
Yes, for the reason I stated. Otherwise, stations were just inflating their budgets to make it balance. So there's nothing saying we can't have those events. I just can't budget for them this year because we don't have any, historical information from last year or the prior year. But mainly the current year, shall I say.
I had a question also regarding, and I've highlighted it at line 20, starting at line 20, grant income. I mean, obviously we're not getting anything from the CPB. So there's zeros all across the way. But I am curious, for instance, in fiscal year 22, there were, we got $51,000-something in grants. Mm-hmm. I'd like to know, A, what is that from? And B, why can't we get it again in 23? What is it?
That's Brown Foundation money, and that's, most of that money is earmarked for the, what did Sandy just call the repeater station?
The repeater. Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing saying that we can't, but this is an individual donor that he donates his money and Brown Foundation matches it.
Yeah. So
that's just really gonna be how,
that's in connection with the prison show, right?
Yes. So Sandy will have to smooth that. Yeah. And see if he can convince him to pony up the additional funds next year. Now he does sometimes for the last, he usually will give us at least $10,000 a year, but that money, it goes strictly towards the prison show to fund their, transmitter, rent, and internet out there.
Are there any other grants on the horizon? For instance, I heard Sandy say something about, a grant in connection with the, installation of the studio. Is there anything on the horizon that we're applying for? Do we have anybody that writes grants? I'll get to you, Tim.
So Dr. Faust and Robin are deeply engaged in this. I'm on the fringe of this right now, only because with the amount of time it's taking to build the studio, strip out a new schedule, and the other work that we've been doing, there's not much room in the day for other activities, and the focus is straight ahead for me. But Dr. Faust and Robin, to answer your question, are working on a number of possibilities.
Okay.
And Markeisha gets involved in that from time to time as well.
Okay. Ted?
I want to advance the argument I was making a few minutes ago, that idea that these community events are based on last year. I mean, I think under circumstances, the policy of the PNB is a wise one, but it's not wise under these extraordinary circumstances that we've been operating under. And I would like to suggest, I am suggesting, that our representatives on the PNB revise that policy, if only in our case, so that our budget, which I think can be amended throughout the year if special events are not happening, but we should have the money projected for both income and for expenditures. Another point I want to make is that if the Brown Foundation is giving us money, it still should be reflected in both the income and in the expenses. It's not like it doesn't exist. It may net out at zero, but we're getting that money from the Brown Foundation, and it should appear in this budget, even if we have to create a special line for it. And it ought to be indicated as an expense, in that it is used for those transmitters, not exclusively for the prison show, but for all of the broadcasting that we do in the Huntsville area. So I think these things need to be addressed.
That money has already been received in FY22. It's not going to be received in FY23 that we know of.
So, as I understand it, then you're saying that it is a part of the 2022 budget. It is not a part of the 2023 budget. So any spending attributable to it will be reflected in the 2022 budget.
We received it in 22, and it was not budgeted in 22, but most of the expenses will probably not happen until 23.
But it is not a part of the budget for 2023.
No.
It's accrued expense for 2022 that will roll out in 2023.
Basically, yes.
Got it.
Nancy, do you have a question regarding the budget that, as we've been discussing it?
Yes, there was no mention about the Galveston repeater. So is that still like not happening, or is it going to happen, or what do you want the grant committee to do? Or I mean, what no discussion, I don't hear anything.
Is that even reflected in the budget, Markeisha?
There are no expenses for the Galveston, no. I don't know anything about that. Sandy would have to speak about that. I mean, it's not on the air. I know that. So I'm not, we're not paying.
Well, thank you.
We're not paying for a tower out there. No.
Or yeah, but we have not sold the equipment. We still got it, right?
Yeah, it's in storage.
Okay. That's Adriana, good. That hasn't been sold off.
Adriana, you had a question?
Yes. I have a question in expenses already. Markeisha, I can see we don't have the total in 2022 of operating expenses. Well, we are not done yet, obviously. But I can see that in personal costs, we have almost half. But then board expenses, we have 125 in 2022 and we have 2400 in 2023.
Adriana, can you please identify which line you're referring to?
Yes. It's all the operating expenses, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, and 33.
Thank you. So, Markeisha, did you understand the question?
She's muted.
Markeisha, you're muted.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
So you asked about board expenses, right, Adriana?
Yeah, all of them, but the first one was about board expenses.
28 through 30.
29. Okay. The first line is 29.
29, excuse me.
Okay. So board expenses. So we spent $125 in FY 2022, and we just always put that 200. And so this line here is unique in that we always put the $200 there, because if we don't, somebody's going to complain and say we don't budget for the board.
Okay. And I can see the other lines, like administrative expenses mm-hmm. went up, programming expenses went up. I don't see the total for development and community events. Probably we have nothing last year. But I can see that the programming goes up, all the others goes up. The only one that went down, no, I'm sorry. Personal cost, 28 went down, half.
But it will go down even more, because that has not been adjusted. Like I say, okay. This was sent out before the changes were made.
Okay. Okay. And what about the administrative expenses? I see that goes up.
So.
Line 30. Yeah.
Yes.
From 99 to 134.
Well.
Does that have to do with the cost for operating the building?
I was going to say it does. That's part of it. Because of course, but I can't see the details. These are just the summary numbers, so I can't see the details. But pretty much it has to do with the cost of the build, of operating the building, and I'm sure that property tax has been included there as well in January.
Yeah,
we're estimating at $18,000.
Correct.
Yes, but mostly the cost of having to, electricity, phone, yeah. Water, everything now
before it wasn't. And what, we don't see the totals from development expenses in 2022. What I see is a number.
Oh, it's a reference.
Number and reference, line 32 and 33.
It's not opening up, so.
I'm sorry?
I'm trying to open it up so you'll see the number, but
yeah.
I don't know how to do that. Sorry.
So for 22, we're budgeting that we would have spent, why is my reference point like that?
32. I don't know the number reference, but I don't see the reference.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to the formula there.
Richard and Susan, I do see your hands. I'll get you.
Okay.
My hand is not up, and I don't know, and I've lost the picture altogether, and so I am just flying blind.
Okay, it's not just
me. I got you.
Okay.
Here's, the development is all the way at the bottom of the spreadsheet. There's a breakout on it.
Yes, what is the total?
So if you look at line 156, it's a summary of development expenses, I think. It's what we're looking at here.
Yes.
And you can, that number that we were looking at up at the top of the spreadsheet comes directly from the spreadsheet. So this is a scratch pad. Total development expenses, line 156. Okay. And you'll see in AX156, the same number that's on top. So that tells you that this is where all the things above that are the breakout on development expenses. You got credit card discount fees, direct mail, again, postage for that. All the costs that are there, the administrative costs are listed out.
No, I understand that. Thank you, because I see that. But what I was asking is why is not the number, the totals, or some number for 2022 still being, even in line 156, in 2022, you say number reference. That's all.
Right, and there's something wrong with the formula, so I'll have to resend the spreadsheet out to why it didn't come. When I did the copy space special, it must not have.
Okay.
Did it right.
It's a spreadsheet error. Yeah. It'll be a similar number.
Some of them have the same thing, yes.
Richard, you had your hand up?
yes, I have a question for Markeisha. But first I wanted to ask you, is that a real-time picture behind you? Is there a storm coming?
No, that is not real time, but I was there.
Okay, it looked like a storm was coming in.
You see on my screen behind me, I took that picture.
Oh, okay, cool.
Richard,
Markeisha, that Brown grant, was that a one-time thing, or do we get that every year?
So he usually will give us, most years he'll give us $10,000 to go towards prison show. But this year he upped his donation and, I believe it was 25 and Brown Foundation matched it. Something like that. Or it was 12, no, it was 12.5 that he gave and they doubled it. They matched it by doubling it. However that worked out or something. I don't know his relationship with the Brown Foundation.
And we usually get that every year. Okay.
Well, no, not the 37.5. Not the 37.5. Just maybe 10,000. He gives 10,000 that he has earmarked for prison show expenses. The 37.5 was a first time this year, and that was something that he had talked to Dr. Franklin about, and he decided to do it. So I don't know the specifics.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm going to call myself. I had a question as long as we're down here. Line 148, it's a development expense. I guess that's including Allegiance.
Mm-hmm.
Will you please tell me what that's about? $2,054. What do we pay Allegiance?
We pay Allegiance $23.88 a quarter. I don't know why it's spread out like that. And then we also pay for a different module, which is, supposed to help us with our matching gifts, which is an additional $2,500. A year, and that's billed annually. And then other development expenses could be involved with, our call center and, the services they provide for answering the phones and taking care of customer service calls year round.
Whatever we pay them, in my humble opinion, it's too much. They are terrible. You call them and they don't know why you're calling. which is why I sent you my check directly.
Thank you.
I hope you got it. That was that question. Any other questions? Okay.
May I make a quick comment? Sorry, I can't put up my hand.
You should.
Regarding call center, one of the things that I know Teresa has brought up is when we are, and we've discussed with Robin, when we're back in the house, that it would be good to be able to start back again with volunteers answering the phones, that not only does that reduce the cost, but that is a personal touch that is something
yes.
that's been very important. And it's a way of engaging volunteers. We have to be sure we have enough phone lines so that we can, so that that can be accommodated.
That's a good thing to aim for, but we went to this service before COVID because it had gotten to the point where we couldn't get people to come in to answer the phone.
Got it.
Remember it's 24 hours a day.
Yep.
And I can speak from being there at 11 to 1 in the morning. And not having anybody to answer the phone once or twice. So having a service is really good. And as a programmer, strictly as a programmer, this system is so much better. No slight intended to any of the hardworking volunteers, but this is a much better deal than we had before.
Yeah.
It's worth every penny.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good information.
Nancy, you have another question?
Yes, in 2020, January, IGM told us that, he was informed that what we were doing, exactly what we were just talking about, you know, with volunteers come and you get to talk with each other, meet each other, and, was, illegal, and that it had to be a paid staff to receive the credit card number, and that what we were doing for years was illegal, and that Judon, I think. And he was informed this by the IED told him. So all stations went to this service, and they're handling, not just our station, but a whole bunch of other community radio stations. That's why they may not know who you are or what, because they're answering the phone for several stations. So I just want us to make sure we're in compliance with the law. I really like meeting, volunteers and, you know, asking questions, what show or what did you like or all kind of, you know, just connection. It's really nice, but I don't want us to get into trouble. And there was a risk in letting people get all this private information, credit card numbers. It was kind of scary sometimes.
Have any questions regarding the budget?
No, but I think it's pertinent information I'm putting on the table in case nobody knows.
I have a question regarding the budget, not seeing any others. I had a question. There are a couple of categories here at 137, 138, and 141 through 143. The first is direct mail and printing, and there's a standard number across the board that actually only begins in December. There's a standard number across the board for postage. Down here we've got subscriptions, and can you please explain what any of that's about? What are we spending that money on?
So those numbers are calculated on numbers of mail pieces that go out. Direct mail is when we go after other people's mailing lists and stuff to try to acquire them as a member. We do that from time to time to, of course, get new members. The lines for 141 to 143, that has to do with all the mailing that happens for our pledge reminders, our
donors,
renewals, lapsed sustainers, all that mail. We pay a mail house to help get all that information printed, written, sent out, all that kind of stuff.
Subscriptions? What's that?
Subscriptions, same deal. It's all commingled into they print, so have you ever received a letter in the mail from KPFT, and it'll have a little code at the bottom so that it tells us when it comes back where to classify that, so we know that, oh, we did make money from sending that mail out. Have you ever received a piece of mail like that, Matt?
No, I get, actually, you touched on a pet peeve of mine. I'm so sorry.
That mail.
in addition to, you know, I'll get a, you know, something and, you know, I'm playing paper and says, thanks for your donation, or this is the taxable value or whatever, the premium if I got a shirt or something. But the last thing I got from y'all was on all but bond paper mailed in a flat envelope, not first class, but, you know, big flat envelope, heavy bond paper signed by Franklin saying, well, thanks for my donation. And it made me question what my donation was being spent on.
I'm not privy to that. That must have been those letters that him and Robin were working on, supposedly going to, I guess, made donors that they were trying to smooth over. Was it a handwritten? It wasn't handwritten, but was it hand?
It was not handwritten, but it was signed by Franklin, and it just infuriated me. But so you're telling me I should direct my ire to Robin? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes. Yes. But the but that mail that you got in that is not this mail. No. All that right. Is different. We send mail, and it'll come even like the tax letters at the end of the year. We send those using those services. And like I said, each piece of mail has a code on it. That way we know when it comes in, where to code it. And like this renewal batch brought in this amount of money, or that renewal batch brought in.
Are we making any headway towards digitizing that? I don't remember the last, I quit talking to the people on the pledge line because they make it tedious. So I just drop a check by the station, or since COVID, I've been sending it to you. But so I don't know that anybody's, other than when I joined the LSB, nobody ever asked me for my email address. Are we making any headway towards directing that sort of traffic? Both reminders and solicitations and thank you notes and tax docs, making any headway towards sending that stuff, electronically and saying.
And that's a good question, because that was the whole purpose of getting Allegiance. What people were supposed to be able to go on and, of course, pledge, manage their account, change their addresses, update credit card information, pull the tax statements, and people are look at us like, I'm not going to do that. That's what I pay you for. Well, so we have that service and we've been trying to push that, but, we have a lot of, I guess, older members, for lack of a better word, that don't really want to do the, they still want to see paper for some reason. And yeah, we're trying. We're definitely trying, Matt. But that was the purpose of Allegiance, for that purpose.
I kind of get that. I mean, I have struggled to join the digital age, but Jesus, if a moped like me can figure it out. All right. This is my last question, and then I see Nancy again and Teresa, who had her hand up first, I believe. Consultants, temps, contract. Again, there's a uniform number across the board. It's a few dollars higher than in 22. What comprises that number?
We have one consultant on staff, and that is our, membership / development person.
Robin.
Okay. Well, I know
she. I didn't know if we were on our court. Yeah. So yes, that's where she is not an employee. She is a contractor. Yes.
Well, consultant. She works hard like an employee.
Yes, yes. Well, she used to be an employee, and she refuses to ever be again. So this was the only way we could get her.
Okay. She escaped.
Yes.